To each of you, again, a blessing to be together. I have been so blessed already this evening. That was some beautiful singing. Dale, I got one on top of you. You sang that on the bus going up to the mountain. A few weeks ago, we were in Jerusalem, and we were up on the Mount of Olives, and we had a number of singing groups along with us, and the Stutzman family was one of them. And they stood there. All of us were gathered, the entire group. And as we faced them, we faced the Stutzmans on this pinnacle, and right in the backdrop was the Temple Mount. We were looking at the old city of Jerusalem, and they sang that song. That was powerful. That was beautiful. And just tonight took me right back there again. And yes, that song almost makes me want to change my message tonight and think about that new Jerusalem where we can walk the streets of gold. Oh, my. To think about heaven, what an awesome thing. Heaven as a prepared place for a prepared people. And I trust that's each one of us here tonight. Well, before I get into my message, I just want to take the opportunity to say thank you for welcoming us here and your hospitality, your friendliness in sharing with us. That wonderful gift basket that was given to us at lunchtime today. Thank you so much for that. And the treats that we experienced for the trip home. You are a blessing to my wife and I. And so we do thank you. Thank you so much. And Dale and Connie for hosting us, giving us a bed to sleep in last night. It's been good to be here and to be able to share with you. And I just pray that here in Shenandoah, you can continue to be that light into the community and as you interact with community and share with them. Well, this is our last evening. It's hard to believe what we're here already. But our passion for this week is about our passion for serving the Lord. And our theme verse for the week, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, Romans 12, verse 11. And again, my Musser version of that, don't be lacking in your zeal, but be passionate in your spirit, serving the Lord. And again, may that be our experience. You know, this week we looked at a number of things that zaps our passion, that takes away that passion, that kind of steals what God wants for us. We looked at those zappers. Tonight I want to go just a little bit different, and I want to look at what I believe is maybe at the core of our passion. What is it that's at the core of our passion? I believe that is our faith. At the core of passion to serve the Lord is our faith. Our faith. The idea of faith is woven entirely throughout the Scripture. We see it from one end to the other. But tonight I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. There's several verses that I want to call our attention to. Now we know Hebrews chapter 11 as the faith chapter. The chapter we have the heroes of faith. But chapter 10 also talks about faith. And just a few verses in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart full assurance of faith. The call is that we would be drawn, that we would be drawn close, that we would be drawn with a true heart that is in full assurance of faith. Then he goes on, he says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. We're called to hold fast to our faith, our profession of faith, and we're to do that without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Can that be our experience to hold fast, to hold fast our faith and not waver in our faith? Then we jump down a few more verses in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith." The just, the righteous, the godly, the church shall live by faith. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe," or them that have faith, "to the saving of the soul." Again, tonight, my subject is faith. Living by faith. We want to think, first of all, tonight, about the importance of faith. The word faith is a very prominent concept throughout Scripture, a very prominent word. If we go back into the original Greek, New Testament's written in Greek. If we go back to the Greek, the words like faith and believing and trusting, they all come from that same root word, that same Greek root word. And that Greek root word is used over 500 times throughout New Testament Scripture. Faith, that concept of faith. Now, maybe just for a little bit of Bible trivia here. So if in the New Testament that concept of faith is used 500 times, how many times do you think the word faith, now this is just simply the word faith, not all of the other, you know, trusting, believing idea, but just the word faith. How many times do you think that is mentioned, is used in the Bible? Or I'm sorry, in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. Now let me just give you a few hints here, a few clues. Obviously, we have all the heroes of faith that it talks about in chapter 11 of Hebrews. They're from the Old Testament. There's those heroes of faith. The New Testament, faith, the word faith is used 245 times. So how many times do you think it's used in the Old Testament? Anybody want to guess? How brave are you? This has nothing to do with my message, but I just found it fascinating as I was studying faith. You're close. Twice. Two times the word faith is used in Old Testament. For whatever that's worth, that's extra tonight, no charge. Well, as we think about the importance of faith. So it's a concept, it's woven throughout Scripture from one end to the other. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, again, we're thinking about how important our faith is, how important the concept of faith is. Hebrews 11, 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." Without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is so essential in our Christian life. If we're going to have a passion to serve God, it takes faith. Faith is part of it. It's impossible to please God without it. There's some scripture verses that talk about the idea of no faith, not having faith. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, there it talks about an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart that has no faith. Unbelief, there is no faith. It's a faithless. In Revelation 21, it talks about the unbelieving. And it says there again that the unbelieving have the idea of without faith. And it says they will have their part in the lake of fire. And so faith is essential. We need to have it in our Christian life. Not only do we have to have it, it's what saves us. We are saved by faith. It's an essential ingredient for salvation. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we do that through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, Ephesians 2:8 says. It's by grace you're saved, through faith. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." We become children of God, we become adopted into the family of God, and it's through this avenue of faith. We put our faith in God. Salvation comes by faith. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Being justified, being made just as if we had not sinned. We're made right with God. It's through faith. Through faith. Faith is important. These verses that I'm sharing, the central theme of these verses is the fact that God sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. On Calvary, He paid the price for our redemption. And it's faith. Faith is the channel. Faith is the channel by which the redemption becomes effective. Salvation by faith. We are saved by faith. Not only are we saved by faith, the Bible also tells us that we are kept by faith. It saves us, and then it keeps us on the right track. Our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." There in that verse I see salvation by faith. It's through Christ. It's through His resurrection. It's what He has done on the cross. Brings us salvation by faith. Then He goes on, verse 4, He says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven." That's a future promise of heaven. And it's by faith. That New Jerusalem, by faith, someday we will be there. We believe by faith that there is the reward of heaven. Verse 5, it says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." We are kept by faith. We are kept by the power of God through this avenue of faith. Right here, right now, we are kept by faith. You know, our entire Christian life is about faith. It's dependent upon faith. From salvation to our last breath, to our death, it's by faith. Galatians 2:20 says, "For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." That's beautiful. We live right here, right now. We live by faith in the Son of God. 2 Corinthians tells us that we walk by faith. It's not by sight. Our lives, our Christian life, our passionate walk with God, our passionate serving God, is a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. So faith is important. Faith is essential in our lives. So what really is faith? What does faith mean? What does it mean to have faith? Again, going to Hebrews 11, it tells us a bit more about faith. It says, "For faith..." Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made with the things which do appear." Now, faith is the substance. The word substance there has the idea of confidence, a firm trust, assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And then it says it's the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof. It's the test. It's the conviction. It's the conviction of things not seen. Faith is a conviction of the reality of the things which we do not see. If you were to go for a walk through the woods, it does not take faith to know that there's something like a tree. You see that. It doesn't take faith to believe in a tree when you're walking through the woods. But faith is especially related to things which we cannot see. Faith is believing the unexplainable, the things, again, which we cannot see, because someone in whom we have confidence says it is so. Faith is confidence, reliance, it's trust. Faith is a firm conviction that what has been declared by another is true. Real biblical faith is anchored in the authority of the Word of God. We take God's Word. God has given us His Word. We accept it by faith. We take it as truth because it's God's Word. He is the one that has given it to us. It is His Word. True faith means I take as certainty the things revealed in the Word of God. It takes Scripture as reality. Faith is the essence of the Christian life. We live by faith. Faith is believing the seemingly impossible, the unexplainable, and that which we cannot see, because someone in whom we have confidence says it is so. Our faith. So what is the object of our faith? You know, it's possible to put confidence, to put our faith in wrong objects, at wrong places, or in wrong people. It is possible that we can have a godless faith, where we have faith, but it's not at the right place. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Trust in the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord and do it with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Don't put your faith in your own understanding. You know, sometimes I was thinking about objects, wrong places to put our faith, wrong objects to put our faith in. You know, sometimes we maybe put our faith in ourselves, in our own abilities, our own strength. I've got this. I can figure it out on my own. We put our strength in our own knowledge. Sometimes we even put our faith in our feelings. And that's a dangerous place to be. Our feelings are not always correct. Sometimes our feelings are misguided. And if we put our trust, if we put our faith in our feelings, it can lead us astray. Sometimes we put our faith in people. And it's not a bad thing to put faith, to trust people, to put our faith in people. But people will leave us down. Sometimes people fail us. Sometimes we put our faith maybe in our possessions. We trust our possessions. We trust our bank account. We trust our money. We trust our government, our country. Again, all of these things at some point in time will let you down. They will fail you. Our trust, our faith needs to be in the Lord. Charles Spurgeon told a story about two men who were in a boat just above the Niagara Falls, and their boat capsized. It flipped over. And these two men, they were desperately hanging on to their boat as it was drifting closer and closer to the falls. And there were some friends who were on the shore. They threw the men a rope. The one man put his faith in that rope and his friends and grabbed a hold of it. And he was pulled to shore safely. The other man chose not to put his faith in that rope, and he put his faith in that boat, and he continued to hang on as the boat drifted closer and he went over the falls to his death. His faith, his trust was misguided. He put it in the boat and it failed him. True faith must be in the right person, the person of Jesus Christ and God the Father. The object of our faith. And it's in the Bible that reveals the truth about our Heavenly Father, about our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is the one that reveals all that we need to know about Him. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song. He has also become my salvation." God is my salvation. I will trust in Him. I will put my faith in Him. He is the one. Isaiah 26, verses 2 and 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Our trust, our faith in God. We'll find peace there. We'll find peace there. Then he goes on, he says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Putting our trust in the Lord forever. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed is the man who puts his faith in the Lord." Says he's going to be like that tree that's planted by the waters. It spreads out its roots by the river. It does not see when the heat comes, but her leaf is green. And she'll be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding her fruit. When our trust is in the Lord, we will be fruitful. We will continue to bring fruit. Even in the difficult times, the times of drought in our lives, we can continue to passionately serve the Lord when our faith is in Almighty God. It is anchored when we trust in the Lord. The object of our faith. So we talked about the importance of faith. We talked about the meaning of faith. We talked about the object of our faith. I'd like to think about how we can increase our faith. How we can grow our faith. The Bible references different degrees of faith. It talks about those who have no faith, where faith is not evident, faith does not exist. And there's a number of scriptures that we could look at, and I'll just reference a few. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks there about the fact that not everyone has it. Not everyone has faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, there it talks about those, the children in whom is no faith. Again, there is a faithlessness. It's not there. It doesn't exist. Jesus in Matthew 17:17 says, he answers and he says, "O faithless and perverse generation." There was a generation, there was a group that had no faith. They were faithless. And in 2 Corinthians, it talks about those who believe not. They believe not. There is no faith. They were faithless. They didn't believe. And so there's one element on one end of no faith. There's also the element in Scripture that it references those of little faith. And we talked about that a bit this morning. A number of times it talks about the disciples. And Jesus calls them out and he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Little faith. Peter was another one. He says, "Oh, you of little faith. Your faith is small. Why did you doubt, Peter?" There is also those where Scripture talks about how they were rich in faith or great in faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said unto them that followed, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." There was an individual, he says, they had great faith. It was awesome. It was great. And in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus, in talking to a woman, he says, "O woman, great is thy faith. Great is your faith." And in James chapter 2, verse 5, he talks about those who are rich in faith. So there's great faith. There's rich faith. And so there's these levels. There's the no faith, the weak or the small, the little faith. And then there's the great, the rich faith. And so how do we get from a place where maybe our faith is weak, our faith is little? How do we grow to a place of great faith? Where God would say, Jesus would say, they are rich, they are great in faith. How do we get there? There was a time when the apostles came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, increase. Increase our faith. Lord, we want a greater faith. Help us, Lord." There's another time when Jesus was talking to a father that I believe had a sick child. And Jesus says to the father, well, let me just read. This is Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. "Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of that child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Help me to believe more. Help me to grow in my faith, to increase my faith. And so that's my heart's desire, that I would grow and increase in faith. And I believe that's necessary if we're going to grow in our passion to serve the Lord. We need to grow in our faith. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Romans 10, verse 17, it says that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, not just anyone's words, but the Word of God. If we want to grow in our faith, we need to immerse ourselves in God's Word. By hearing God's Word, reading God's Word, studying God's Word. I like to think of faith as a muscle. So how do you strengthen your muscles? So you young men, if you want to become stronger, what do? You get those weights and you start pumping weights. You stretch those muscles, you work them. To build strength in muscles, you got to work them, you got to use them. You got to stretch them. No pain, no gain. You keep going and harder and harder. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you look at all of those heroes, we call them the heroes of faith. How did they become heroes of faith? How did they become in that chapter? What took them? How comes they're listed there? It's because their faith was stretched. They used it. They acted. There was action in their lives. If we're going to increase our faith, we need to exercise our faith. There needs to be action. James says, faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. We need to work that faith. We need to exercise it. I'd like to conclude here tonight with some exercises, some suggestions of exercises to grow our faith. And these exercises are not original with me, but things that we can do in our lives if we want to grow, if we want our faith to grow, we want to become stronger Christians, we want to become more passionate serving the Lord. Here's 10 exercises for you. The first one is prayer. Communion with God, sharing with God, the object of our faith, crying out to Him, sharing our heart, communicating with Him, listening to Him, allowing Him to speak to our lives. Prayer. Secondly, reading God's Word. Again, spending time, immersing ourselves in God's Word, allowing God's Word to speak to our heart, meditating on it, making it become real in our lives. Thirdly is study the lives of the biblical characters of faith, those heroes of faith that we have in Hebrews chapter 11. Study their lives. What did they do? Number four, surround yourself with people of great faith. Surround yourself with other people who are passionate about serving God. If we want to increase our faith, we walk alongside somebody else who is a person of faith, and we encourage each other. Number five, listen to or read testimonies about answered prayers and miracles. We're talking about exercises here that will increase our faith. When we read about what God has done in other people's lives, how God did marvelous works in their lives, how God brought them through trials, through difficulties, how God performed miracles, we read about God's goodness and what He has done. It will increase our faith. Number six, keep a journal of answered prayers from your life. Think about the prayers that you cry out to God and how often God does answer your prayers. Keep a journal of that. Number seven, remember God's faithfulness in the past. Take time to reflect back and how God has been faithful to you. Reflect on all of that. Exercises to increase our faith. Number 8, appreciate God's marvelous creations. Take time to stop and look at creation. Look at God's handiwork. Look at God's majesty, His might, His power. My wife and I like to look at the stars. Just to go out early in the morning before daylight and just look heavenward. The awesomeness of God's creation. When we were in Israel, we had the opportunity to climb Mount Sinai. And we did it at night so that we could be at the top to see the sunrise service. And as we began our climb up Mount Sinai, at the bottom there was lights that kind of lit up the valley. And we started going up through and it got darker and darker. And as it got darker, those stars in the sky just became so brilliant, like I've never seen before. Take time to observe God's creation. Appreciate it. Stop and look at the flowers. Number 9, hold on to the promises of God. God has so many promises throughout His Scripture. Promises for you and for me. Grasp a hold of those. Take those promises. Make them yours. We're talking about increasing our faith, growing our faith. It's claiming those promises. The 10th exercise, I said these were not original with me. There is one exception. And that's the 10th one. Take a trip to Israel. If you want to increase your faith, if you want to grow in faith, take a trip to Israel. I know it's way over there. It takes a long time to get there, and it's expensive to get there, but it is rewarding. It is rewarding. Just to walk the turf that Jesus walked. To see some of the ruins that give evidence that this was the place that whatever it was that happened. Obviously, there's some things that it was just a place like this. They can't say that this was the place of the tomb. This was the tomb, things like that. But just to be there on the Mount of Olives, to see the Garden of Gethsemane below, the Kidron Valley, and then Jerusalem. It's so awesome. It brings the Bible alive. You know, this morning we talked about Caesarea Philippi in our Sunday school lesson. And it was so neat because I was there. It brings just a new light to the Bible. It will increase your faith. A trip to Israel. I'll give you one other piece of advice. Do it before you're too old. Do it when you got good walking legs. And you can get around because it's a lot of walking. If you want to get the most out of it, there's a lot of walking. Tonight, it's my prayer. It's my prayer that we would grow in our faith, that we would increase in faith. Let's cry out to God, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to grow in my faith. Faith, it's important, it's essential, we need to have it. Jesus Christ, God the Father, needs to be the object of our faith. And I trust tonight that we can grow in our faith. I'd like to circle back to the verses that I started with in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith." Oh, that we would draw near, that we would draw close, that our heart, a true heart, a heart that is full, a full of assurance of faith. And he says, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering." Without wavering. No, there's many a people who have professed faith, and at times in their lives, then they begin to waver. That faith begins to waver. They become wishy-washy. They're not anchored. Let's hold on to our profession of faith. Let's be anchored. Let's not waver. And let's live. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Tonight, I don't know what your faith looks like, where your faith is at. If you would describe yourself as being rich in faith, being strong, or would you describe yourself as being of little faith? God wants us, no matter where we're at, I believe, to increase our faith. Tonight, as we close, I was not sure if I was going to give an invitation, but I think I will. Maybe tonight there's someone here who has never professed faith in Jesus Christ, never took that step. Salvation is by faith. Maybe you have never taken that step. I want to give that opportunity tonight if there is someone. Also, maybe tonight, at some time throughout this week, that the Lord has spoken to you in some way, shape, or form. You didn't respond. Maybe I didn't give opportunity to respond. Tonight, if there's anything that's on your heart, anything that the Lord is tugging at your heart with, I just want to give a last opportunity here tonight. And I know that that doesn't mean tonight's the last that you can take care of anything between you and God. But we're going to close with just giving you an opportunity. Before we do that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you tonight. Father, your word tells us that without faith, we cannot please you. And so God, tonight, we want to please you. Father, we ask that you would increase our faith. Father, we want to serve you. We want to serve you with passion, with all of our beings, all of our heart, our soul, our mind. We want to love you. God, this week we recognize that there's things that steal that from us, that steal that passion and that desire. And God, tonight, in these moments, we ask, Lord, that if there's anyone here tonight that is not walking where you would have them, Father, that you would just tug at their hearts. Father, that tonight they could be set free from whatever bondage it is. Father, tonight, if there's maybe a young person that has never taken that step of faith and accepted you, that maybe tonight you are calling them to take that step. God, We ask for your direction and your leading. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Just going to give a